The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Agatha Samoa. In the headlines, Greater Accra Regional NDC says it expects former President Rollins to attend his campaign launch tomorrow. Former GEMPA Rector Professor Stephen Adair calls for an end to inflammatory situation in the broadcast media. First phase of Adasi defense project expected to be completed by December next year. VRA ends nationwide load shedding. NANMU and stakeholders adopt action plan for disaster risk reduction. Local contractors complain about influx of foreign counterparts. U.S. says it remains committed to reconciliation in Afghanistan. And Argentina threatens legal action against companies that explore oil in Falkland Islands. The Greater Accra Regional NDC has formally invited the former president to attend the party's rally at Manchaguna in Accra. Its chairman Adekoka said that there was an initial mix-up, but it has been rectified. He told Behind the News, Kinsler Bintre, a letter has been dispatched to the former president and hoped the former president will be present at the party's rally.
There was initial hiccup, but we have rectified it.
Initial hiccup, how do we describe that hiccup?
A letter went, but apparently it was undated, and also the time for the function was not communicated. So the office, his office called our attention to it, and the proper thing has been done. So as I'm talking to you now, a letter has been dispatched to him, and I think that should be the end of the story.
We have been told that in inviting former President Rollins, there are clear procedures. What are these procedures that should always be taken into consideration?
He's the founder of the party, and you know, he lives in Greater Accra. I mean, if you know the Ghana tradition, if you are going to your father's house, you shouldn't go with your back against the door. You should go through the front door. Apparently, we went through the door, but partially going through. So we rectify the situation. And a letter has been dispatched to him with alacrity. So we are hoping that if we have made an initial mistake, he will forgive us and then look beyond us and the NDC, and then on Saturday, graciously come to the rally.
Some want to read in between the lines and say that perhaps former President Rollins is trying to make it a formal proposition because he's not so much in link with the party. Is that a situation?
No. He's the fan of the party. When you are doing something in Greater Accra, okay, he even researched, he cannot do something or pretend as if there's something untoward between us and him.
Greater Accra Region Chairman of the NDC, Adekoka. The founder of the PPP, Dr. Parker Sindum, says the party has come to stay. He told Radio Ghana's Samulisa that the party has the men to maintain the momentum it has stated. It has started seeking after the party has been officially given a certificate to become a fully-fledged political party. Dr. Sindum said the party will provide an incorruptible leadership and make things work for Ghanaians.
We have got young people, both men and women, in a responsible position. And so that will assure us that our party will grow as they grow up and they take our place. Some of us, we are going to be the teachers and the leaders. The rest of them, they will come and take our places. And so this party has come to stay.
What does the PPP stand for? Are you in compromise, capitalist, or of what philosophy?
Well, the word progressive in our name is a meaningful matter. We are progressive, so we believe in a progressive vision, a progressive philosophy, and progressive philosophy really has everything to do with the human beings in the society. It says that we take care of our own as Ghanaians. It says that we ensure that the things that make a human being enjoy a high quality of life, such as a good education, good health, such as having jobs, and so on and so forth. Those are the things that matter to us. And above all, we are pragmatists. We are pragmatists that want to unite Ghana. And so our belief is that we use the best people available, regardless of religion, ethnic, or even political affiliation, to make things work for Ghanaians. And then finally, we aim to provide incorruptible leadership in Ghana. And I want to repeat that. Incorruptible leadership. Because when you have incorruptible leadership, you strengthen institutions so that institutions are stronger than the individuals. So no individual can feel so strong that they can do whatever they want. If you have incorruptible leadership, you can collect the revenue that you need and don't get into huge judgment debt that took away the monies we need for education and health. So those are some of the things that we stand for. And I believe that as we move ahead, Ghanaians will feel us because with respect, we will one by one put on the table the solutions that we have for the problems that confront Ghanaians.
Having received your final certificate, what's next for the PPP?
Well, beginning this weekend, we are starting to confer our constituency, regional and national executives. We are having our presidential primary next week, from this weekend going. It's going to be done constituency by constituency, region by region, and then we are beginning the first stage of electing parliamentary candidates. So some candidates will be elected this month. And a second batch will be elected at the end of April, a third batch at the end of May, and the last batch at the end of June.
Founder of the Progressive People's Party, Dr. Parkwesi Indun. Questions continue to linger as to whether or not prisoners should be allowed to register in the upcoming biometric voter registration, which opens next week. Proponents say prisoners must be allowed to register so they can vote, simply because it is a constitutional right. Opponents, on the other hand, state that by the very fact of being prisoner, they are restricted as a form of punishment and must therefore not be allowed to register for future voting. Rebecca Ekpe looks at both sides of the argument.
Chapter 7 of the Constitution states that every citizen of Ghana 18 years or above and of sound mind has the right to vote and is entitled to be registered as a voter, which is why some members of the public support the motion that prisoners must be allowed to register. Some say by allowing prisoners to register to vote, it is not only upholding the Constitution, but also respecting the fundamental human rights of prisoners.
Going to prison or being in prison comes in so many different circumstances. So that means anybody at all, at any point in time, can end up there. So that right, if you end up then that right is still in place. You can exercise and your vote alone can bring in government or somebody into power who may put in a policy that will check certain things.
Also, prisoners except those on death row will eventually be released and therefore must be allowed to register to vote to ease their reintegration into society. On the other hand, opponents argue that prisoners, by their actions, have their freedoms curtailed and must not be allowed to participate in the biometric voter registration nor any future voting exercise.
For me, it will be suicidal because how would that prisoner who has been incarcerated by the government of the day feel and vote for it? Definitely the prisoner will vote against the government. And if I were to be His Excellency President Mills, I'll kick against it. I'll not allow that.
The Electoral Commission's stand is that prisoners in Ghana will be covered in the biometric register and allowed to vote during the December 7 elections. But there are still some remaining issues to be addressed. Its chairman, Dr. Kojur Afarijan, stated that stakeholders are yet to decide if prisoners will vote in both presidential and parliamentary elections. Also, the question remains whether prisoners in Nsawem, for example, will in future vote in the Nsawem constituency or their original residences.
We have not yet come to a definitive conclusion on that.
There will not be any campaigning in this prison, and that has there been any changes on that as well, or still remains?
The prison authorities maintain that prisons are barracks and there are not supposed to be campaigned inside barracks, so they will not allow campaigning in the prison.
Chairman of the Electoral Commission, Dr. Kwejo Afarijan, ending that report by Rebecca Ekpe. The immediate past rector of GIMPA, Professor Stephen Adey, has described the situation prevailing on Ghana's airwaves as a recipe for instability. He said the level of political partisanship is going too far and needs to be brought under control. Professor Adey was speaking at the 17th matriculation of the Valley University at OEB in the Dangwe West District. We bring you the details.
Professor Adair spoke on the topic, promoting national peace and stability, and the role of the university students wading into what has become known as the Wyoming-Gate scandal. Professor Adair said even though the case is a serious embarrassment to government, it touches on a serious canker to the country, namely political and bureaucratic corruption, which had confronted all regimes and not the NDC alone. He said this is not the time for opposition to seek to score points, but to come out with strategies to deal surgically with corruption. Professor Adair said since the case is sub judice, it needs not to be debated on the airwaves, adding that one is presumed innocent until convicted. He noted that even though Ghana has employed relative peace for some time now, it still has cleavages and elements which, if exploited by politicians and others for selfish interest, could change the country's situation rapidly for the worse. Touching on the biometric voting system with verification, the former GIMPA rector described it as a step in the right direction, saying it will help curb multiple voting and all sorts of rigging. He said university students have vital roles to play in promoting national peace and stability, especially during the upcoming general elections. The rector of the Valley View University, Professor Daniel Bohr, announced that the university's Institute of Computer Science has introduced additional 14 information technology certificate courses to its BSc Computer Science and BSc Information Technology programs. He said the university is working on securing accreditation for the introduction of actuarial science, mathematics, statistics and economic programs. In all, 936 made up of 534 men and 402 women were admitted.
A news desk report. African leaders have been asked to ensure that they manage their affairs without interference from the West. They should also ensure transparency and accountability to enable the ordinary people to realize and develop their potential. Also, all governments in Africa should intensify the provision of microfinance for organized agricultural groups to improve the livelihood of the people through reduced poverty. These demands were contained in a three-point communique issued at the end of a three-day international conference of the Faculty of Social Science, University of Education, Winneba, on the theme, Bringing the Gal to Town, Appraising Africa's Development. George Asikri reports.
The conference attracted scholars from public universities in Ghana, the University of Flamberg in Germany, and scholars from Trinidad and Tobago. Speakers agreed that the problem of accelerated development in Africa are internal and can only be solved by Africans. They said if leaders in Africa continue to value their personal wealth than the masses they govern, the continent will remain poor in the midst of untapped natural resources. Speaking to Radio Ghana on the theme, Bringing the Gown to Town, the head of department of the Social Science Faculty of the University of Education Winneba, Dr. Geshon Dake, said it is high time graduates from universities made their skills relevant to the communities they find themselves after school.
Like the team says that we are carrying the gown to town and then appraising Africa's development, we want to see the extent to which the universities will help bring our communities in which they are situated.
Is it that the universities products that are out there have failed to put into practice what they learn? That is why we still have these challenges.
They are not being able to solve all the problems that we have faced. They need to put in place some other things that will help move the economy forward.
Ogundekun Orisagwemi of the Transatlantic Trade and Cultural Exchange Program of the African Union Assembly.
George Asikri reporting. The National Identification Authority, NIA, says it has the legal mandate to issue cards to both Ghanaian nationals and foreigners permanently residing in Ghana. The statement follows media reports that immigration officers at the Kulungugu and Nisiga border posts in the Boko municipality have seized 586 Ghanaian national identity cards from nationals from Togo, Burkina Faso and Niger, and that persons suspected to be non-Ghanaian nationals are being issued ID cards in various parts of Bunahafu. The statement signed by the head of public relations of the authority, Beth Ajeble, quotes Section 2 of the NIA Act 707, which requires the authority to collect personal data on citizens resident in the country and abroad and foreign nationals permanently resident in the country. It said the national identification card issued to both national and foreigners are the same, except the nationality code in the personal identification number. The CPN said if it is, however, is published that a Ghana card issued to any foreigner bears the Ghana code, then that individual misrepresented him or herself to the authority, which is an offense punishable by law. The CPN called on all the security agencies to contact the authority for identification of any Ghana card they find to be in doubt. It described media reports that the NIA is issuing ID cards to foreigners in connivance with the ruling NDC as unfortunate. The statement assured the public that it will not allow its attention to be diverted by irresponsible, malicious and false allegations. The Volta River Authority says the nationwide load shedding exercise, which was prompted by faulty equipment and shortfall in gas supply, has ended. According to the head of public relations of the VRA, Gertrude Kunsen, the end of the exercise followed improvement in the supply of gas from the West Africa Pipeline Company and completion of repair works on the faulty unit at the Akonsombo Hydro Sweetener Yard and the Abuazi and Tema Thermal plants. She said the interruption in the gas supply from what could cause the VRA an operational loss of 20 million Ghana cedis in the past 4 weeks. The loss, according to Ms. Kunsen, was occasioned by the frequent switch between the use of crude oil and gas at the Abuazi and Tema Thermal plants. She said immediate power generation plans are far advanced to forestall future load shedding. Ms. Kunsen said, for instance, the Tapadi 3 thermal plant project is expected to produce about 132 megawatts of power will be ready by June this year. This, she said, is anticipated to improve supply, especially during the period of low supply. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Greater Accra Regional NDC says it expects former President Rawlings to attend its campaign launch tomorrow. Former GIMPA rector Professor Stephen Adair called to an end the inflammatory situation in the broadcast media. First phase of Adansi defense project expected to be completed by December next year. VRA ends nationwide load shedding. NADMO and stakeholders adopt action plan for disaster risk reduction. Local contractors complain about influx of foreign counterparts. U.S. says it remains committed to reconciliation in Afghanistan. And Argentina threatens legal action against companies that explore oil in Falkland Islands. Do stay with us.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are social.
Welcome back. The first phase of the Adansi defense project is slated to be completed by December 2013. The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensah, on an inspection tour to the site, said he is impressed with work done so far since the project began last year. He said the Nelson-led administration will do its best to complete the project for the people of Ada. Mark Ofia Hageman was there.
The Adansi defense project, which commenced in October last year, is in two phases. The first phase, which will cost 60 million euros, will be completed by December next year. The project is meant to protect coastal towns from sea erosion, which has already submerged some communities in Adanfo. It will also help preserve animals in their natural habitats. The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.T. Mensah, said the sea defense project is one of the main priorities of the ministry. He said governments will invest in salt production, which can be exported to other countries. Mr. Mensah noted that Adan is rich in salt and can help produce more salt to meet the country's demand. The project engineer, Iwan Tablanche, explained that since its commencement, the project has created employment for some locals. He said the project would protect the coastal shores from flooding. It will also boost tourism, since international investors would want to invest in Adan because of its tourist sites. The paramount chief of Adan, Nene Akwaku, was grateful for the progress made so far by the government. He said the sea defense project would help protect their property and attract investors there.
Mal Kufia Hajiman's report. Ghana now has an action plan for disaster risk reduction. The plan initiated by NADMO was adopted in Accra by NADMO and its stakeholders. The Ghana Plan of Action on Disaster Risk Reduction will act as a guide to help in minimizing disasters as well as reducing the country's vulnerability to disasters. Gloria Anderson reports that the meeting to adopt the action plan also created a national monitoring and evaluation committee to oversee the implementation of the plan.
Ghana's action plan for disaster risk reduction was developed around five frameworks. Under each framework are activities that would need to be implemented to achieve the objective of a resilient nation. NADMO and its stakeholders are expected to spearhead the implementation with the hope of preventing or detecting disasters and managing their effects. P.Y. Amwakun was the facilitator of the Ghana Plan of Action for Disaster Risk Reduction.
There are certain activities that people should come after. That each of the priority areas, you have certain specific activities. And now when you are able to do this as a nation, then you have implementing agencies like you are in GBC. GBC, you have to carry information. So you will be part of those who are carrying them. So it's also education, making people to be aware. It's also part of this. What the UNGP has assisted NADMO to do is to come up with activities under all these priority areas that will help the nation achieve the UN goals, you know, putting up very good structures, putting up very good buildings and all that. And also, when you are in the drought area, at certain times you need to even put up or grow some sort of seedlings that will be able to withstand this. So these are some of the measures that we are taking.
Stakeholders were given the opportunity to validate the action plan, adding and subtracting key information in an attempt to make it more realistic. The stakeholders were optimistic that when implemented, the action plan will prevent or minimize loss of life and property in the event of disaster.
Gloria Anderson reporting. Ghanaian local contractors have expressed their displeasure about the influx of foreign construction companies. They complain that activities of these foreign companies pose a great threat to their survival. They have therefore called on government to equip local contractors in order to compete with their foreign counterparts and salvage the industry from collapse. The occasion saw the swearing in of new national executives from the Association of Road Contractors Ghana. Linda Goji reports.
Local contractors often bear the brunt of public criticism for shoddy work, undue delay of projects, and perceived diversion or misapplication of contract payments. These issues work to the advantage of foreign contractors who also incur the anger of their local counterparts for hijacking their jobs. The outgoing chairman of the Association of Road Contractors, Johannes Chumisi Mensah, said government needs to equip local contractors to be able to build a consortium to bid for contracts. On the issue of shoddy work, he said if such offending contractors continue to be paid, they will not be challenged to do the right thing.
The biggest of us local contractors is not even a quarter of any of the foreign contractors in the country. If we are talking about competing with the foreign contractors, then the government must build up individual capacity before those individual capacities can join together to be a formidable consortium. In this business of shoddy work, I can tell you that most of the problems in the industry are not of the contractors making. If a contractor does shoddy work, why should he be paid? But if that contractor continues to be paid, then shoddy work will continue. So the root of that problem is effective supervision.
The new chairman of the association, Joseph Ebo Hilton, said the delay in execution of contracts is as a result of delay in payments.
Linda Goji reporting. The General Secretary of PUTAC, Oswald Atiga, has refuted allegations by the Fair Wages and Salaries Commission that their strike is illegal. He said due process was followed before embarking on the strike. Mr. Atiga said all they want is the implementation of the mediation agreement signed. He spoke to Kingsley Obinchere.
Our members are still on strike during the day that the Chief Executive of the Fair Wages Commission talking about an illegal strike, talking of suspending our salaries, and so on and so forth. Our membership is resolute. Our strike is indeed a legal strike because we have duly followed the laid-down procedure.
What is the main point of argument?
Well, the main point of argument has to do with the market premium. The market premium. Yeah. In addition to that, you recall that in 2010, we went on a strike. Labour Commission took us to court. We won that court case. Subsequently, Labour Commission asked us and Fair Wages Commission to go into mediation, and they appointed one Akafia to be the mediator. We have a legal binding mediation agreement with Fair Wages. And all we are saying is that Fair Wages should implement that mediation agreement to the latter.
So it means there was a resolution?
There was a resolution. On the 20th day of December 2010, a mediation agreement was signed under the supervision of the National Labour Commission. Graham signed, his administrative secretary signed, Putak signed, NCT had a representative who signed that mediation agreement. All Putak is saying is implement that agreement.
General Secretary of Putak Oswald Atiga, meanwhile, the Executive of Fair Wages and Salaries Commission, George Smith Graham, says the commission has met every requirement in the migration of Putak members onto the single span salary structure. Now to some foreign stories. The U.S. service remains committed to Afghan reconciliation despite the suspension of talks by the Taliban. White House spokesperson Jay Carney said there is no likely resolution to the conflict in Afghanistan without a political resolution. The Taliban have, however, halted preliminary talks with the U.S., describing Washington's message as erratic. Argentina says it will take legal action against companies involved in oil exploration in the Falkland Islands. Foreign Minister Hector Timmerman said oil development in Falkland's waters is illegal. He warned that companies providing support to British could also face sanctions. In response, the UK government said it supported the right of the islanders to develop their oil resources. We'll be back after this break.
Radio Ghana News, bringing you fair, accurate, regional and global news. We are total.
Now to end the news, the main points again. The Greater Accra Region in DC says it expects the presence of former President Rawlings at the party's rally at Manchabona in Accra. The immediate past rector of Gimpa, Professor Stephen Adehazada, has launched to call for the use of decent language on the airways. The Minister of Water Resources, Works and Housing, E.P. Mensah, has expressed his impression about the manner in which the first phase of the Adai Defense Project has been handled. And the U.S. has pledged its commitment to ensuring reconciliation in war-ravaged Afghanistan despite the suspension of talks by the Taliban. The news was presented by Agatha Samoa in Accra.